What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm your host, Ant, and I am so excited for tonight's show. We got some of the usual knuckleheads, but we have a very special guest tonight. So let's just get it started. First and foremost, we got a man that's been playing Call of Duty for the last 18 hours. What up, Jacob?
Actually, I've been watching Shrek, bro. I'm watching.
Okay, I just saw the gamer headset. I figured you were deep in some action, getting your kills up.
Hey man, look, this is the new Father's Day gift. I got some new headphones for when we travel, so I'm trying them out.
Okay, all right, cool. All right, and then now we got the man that puts his shirts in the dryer 7 times before he wears them. Here we go, what up, Pat?
Here we go with this bull crap. Hey, I'm trying to tell y'all, don't get mad because y'all ain't in the gym, man.
Hey, man. Look, man, baby,
don't get mad.
They want their t-shirts back.
Hey, my shirt, hey, just because, hey, look, I got space. Don't get jealous. Don't get jealous.
Just show me that. Show me the tag. What size is that?
Man, no, I'm taking your shirt off.
It's a large.
Nah, no.
I promise you it's a large. Do I need to bring a special guest to verify my size of my shirt? Mm-hmm. All right, then.
No. All right, and so we have a new guest tonight, someone that hasn't been on the show before. So if Lance is Tony Stark, this young man is Peter Parker.
Yes, here he is.
What up, Dragoon?
That was dumb, I'll tell you right now. That was so stupid. That is a straight up dad joke. That was in the mirror a good
Hey, I am a dad, and so I can make those jokes, and every chance I can, I will make them. Just understand that. So
you're on with 3 dads, so
I can surely tell. I think I can. I've seen that.
All right.
Oh, man.
All right, cool. Well, let's get it going. And whenever we have a new guest, we always like to give you the floor first. Declan, if you could just give us your origin story, what got you into officiating and what brought you to this point?
So what got me into officiating? That's a really good question. Sometimes I'm 16, so sometimes I look back and think why I really chose to do this out of all the jobs I could have chose out of Publix and Winn-Dixie. But in reality, I was playing baseball over at a league park, and I was like, you know what, that looks fun. Because there was a kid my age now, but at the time, I was probably like 8. So I said, I'll try it. So first game I ever officiated, I did baseball, I was 12. It was a scrimmage in St. Augustine. Big old storm came out, rain through it, but we're still going to count it as a full game, though it was 15 minutes. ever since then, I've stuck with it since I was 12 to 16 now. What got me to this point? I don't even know. I'll tell you that. Sometimes from when you do T-ball to the world championship I did in Tampa, that really tests your limits.
You
do a bolt for the first time and you realize, yeah. I did a tournament for Under Armour and I realized that definitely like the adult style more, a lot faster, and not as much complaining. Sometimes. But it's definitely funny. And, it's been good to have mentors like Jacob, you, Ann, and Pat to get me to the point where I am in flag football. And it's great to have mentors through baseball. So, yeah.
Okay. So you don't really have, like, unruly parents that you have to deal with in T-ball?
Please. We did opening day. It was the weekend of the MLB opening day. And I'm over in Bush now. And where you had to do a 3-man umpire crew, because with their league, you have non-competitive T-ball, self-explanatory, and then competitive T-ball. We had to do a 3-man crew because parents like to fight.
In T-ball.
In T-ball, yes. They think Little Johnny's going to the World Series tomorrow.
This is my man.
They think Little Johnny's going to the World Series tomorrow. And unfortunately, yeah, so. But I've never had to endure any of that. Worst thing I've seen, I was refereeing tackle football, 8-year-old, and 2 ladies started fighting outside the field. That's a part.
But you in Florida, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Everything crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when was the first time you officiated flag football?
That's a really good question. Probably 3 years ago. So I started flag football after my 1 year of I did baseball and softball. So it was probably January because I did Under Armour Rise by myself. Big regret. Wanted to quit right then and there. The biggest regret of my life was working a solo man crew on 12s. Because I know I'm not the skinniest fellow. I mean, you gotta move a bit. No, I'll tell you right now, even with the 8-year-old, when I worked in Orlando, no, I gotta be halfway down the field to make sure I don't get burnt. But that's besides the point.
I mean, if you had, I don't know if you watched an episode that Chun was on, but in his opinion, a solo man crew is the best crew, and you'll see the most.
I did see that.
So you probably didn't miss a single call.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about missed calls and whatnot. Because when it comes to baseball and all that, I am known as Mr. Ejection. So, but we're going to leave that.
Can't wait for Nashville.
We're going to leave that. No, because I only had 3 disqualifications in world championships. I didn't have a whole lot. There's only one. I flagged him because we gave him 2 personal fouls, and he kicked the other flag, like kicked my partner's flag right off the field. I kicked it. I went, come on. I said, you know what? You're done. I can't put the flags on me, so I let them all fly.
Who was on your field with you, Declan?
It was me, Sonia, and Patrick. And Sonia's in the white hat. No, not him. There was another kid. Not him. I don't know if that's his name. I'm just going to call him that right now because that's what I think his name is. That's what I'm pretty sure his name is. Patrick's I'm back judging. He just tackled him straight up. So I just Tom Brady the flag across the field. Maybe not a wise decision, but you got to let everybody know you saw it.
Yeah, hey, let it rip.
We warned him. The normal, nonchalant, you know, he's going to be the way he is. So I don't care. I move back to my position. They snap it again, and he just straight up tackles him again. So I just threw one. I said, and you're done. Grabbed the 2 others and threw my hat.
You're done.
Baseball.
Don't get me going with baseball. Now, with baseball, I do the whole MLB. I point, get out of here. Turn my back.
Hey, so I don't know if you've seen the guy that does the lip syncing of MLB umpires. I don't know what his name. Yeah, so Angel Hernandez is like your hero then, huh?
As an umpire and as a sports official, I will not talk crap on people that do the same profession.
Hey, look at that.
All right.
Not my favorite, personally. Personally, my favorite is Joe West. I wear his number on my sleeves, so
okay.
I get my name Mr. Ejection from because I don't care no more. I don't have on caring. I started doing the 14-year-old. No, my cares ran out the window.
Hey, so yeah, let's go.
I'm bring you up to Camel City, man.
Man, we have about 4 players left. That's what it
means. I'm bringing with me. I'm bringing them with me to Nashville. They're sports glass, and they have a camera in the center. So let them try some crap. Right there.
All right. You know what? Hey, Jacob, I'm going to say it right now. DK, if you're listening, try some crap with Declan.
He won't do it.
Hey, there's a guy. He coaches for one of the local Pop Warner teams. He's a cop. He said the same thing. I looked at him. I said, you got it. Threw one, flew another, gave his team 30 yards, and got rid of him.
There you go. All right. So, Declan, that's an amazing intro. So we just want to get into some rule review now. Jacob, let's talk about live ball penalty assessment.
All right. So, just a couple of things we could touch on. Penalties assessed live balls are in order to – wow, that's really poorly worded. Penalties are assessed for live ball fouls in the order they occur before dealing with dead ball fouls. Live ball, dead ball don't offset. There's no limit to how many dead ball fouls can be enforced. No, we're not talking about that. I'm just kind of going through here. Let's see. Penalties associated with automatic first downs. An offended team may accept the automatic first down portion of a penalty and decline the yards, or they can accept both. Yardage portions of any penalty can be declined. DQs, ejections, and sportsman likes are the only three penalties that cannot be declined.
All right, cool. Yeah, I think you covered it. I think the new thing that players are now finding out is about the realization that they can accept the penalty and decline the yardage. I still think there's a lot of players that when I give the option, do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? And they look at me like I'm stupid because I'm actually mentioning that they could decline the yardage and stay out of the no-run zone or have an extra first down. And they're like, of course I want the first down. I'm like, okay, sorry. I'll just shut up. My bad. Declan, just real quick to follow up on a solo mechanic. Where were you on the line behind the quarterback? What was your position?
Somewhere I probably shouldn't have been. Tell you that.
No. Where?
I'm gonna be 100% off. I was not behind the quarterback because now that I think I probably should have, because if they would have intercepted, I'd have already been there. I was working the umpire spot. I'm going to be right. I was right in front of the quarterback. So if anything happened on the line, I could be there to see it. And if they threw it and they were running to the end zone, so I was just going to walk. And I'd already be there and not have to run from behind the quarterback behind them, because I was by myself. Did not
Truthfully,
care.
Being by yourself, that's probably the safe spot to be in. Either at the umpire spot or on the line of scrimmage and then trying to see everything.
Looking back, I probably should have been on the line because my second game I worked back there, bam, right to the head. I mean, right to the head. He threw it, bam, knocked my hat off.
You
in the
head?
Down.
Huh?
Yeah. Snipe me. And I went, and I blew it dead. And the coach goes, oh, that's live. I said, not anymore. It's dead. I blew it dead.
Hey, he did that on purpose. His coach said.
Yeah, he did.
He probably did.
We've seen the longest yard.
Yeah, beam him.
Yeah.
get him off the field.
So I officiated. I did a solo mechanic in Southern California, adult fives. And maybe this was wrong in my thought process, but I would set the line of scrimmage, I would mark out the 7 yards, and I would sit at the rush line, just to kind of get me best position I felt like possible. But then immediately, like the first deep ball that happened, they're wondering why I didn't call PI. I'm like, because I'm by myself.
Yeah.
That's why.
Literally in a one-man mechanic, you're in no man's land. There's no right answer. There's no right position to be in. It's what works for you in the time. You know, you can go. You can speculate Monday morning quarterback everything. Try to figure out what would have worked better. And the only thing you can do with that is just make yourself better going forward. But at the end of the day, you should never be in that situation. League organizers should never put you in that position.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I think the reason it happened in that situation is because one of the officials wanted to play for a couple games instead of officiate. So I got left by myself.
That's terrible. That's terrible. I was going to ask, were you ever throwing penalties when you were by yourself?
Oh, for sure I was.
Yeah, I was
without question.
Clock running.
I was watching them. Well, I'll tell you right now, they flag guard. Nope, he was in his running motion. He's running. I'm not going. Because I'm not going to have a coach come out at me. I'm by myself. The ordinary on the field over there. Nope.
And you know what's bad? A lot of times youth gets the short end of the stick. If we don't have enough officials, all right, just throw one person over there and they'll be fine. It's kids. And it's not right. Because at the end of the day, you're still losing quality. You're still losing.
Yeah.
You're not traceability is the word I'm looking for, but you're not. There's no accountability on both sides. There's nothing, you know, there's a lot that gets missed and takes away from the game. Basically, you're just herding cats at that point. And if we want to do that, there's better places to go babysit. So,
youth soccer is a perfect thing to have one official, you know, because they're all in a group and they're just moving around the ball and stuff. I mean, that's
football's way more technical than that. You know, baseball, you can get away with having one umpire as a home plate umpire. You know, basketball, you know, probably a little more difficult because if you're playing a full court. But football being a full field, being, you know, I don't like seeing just one official on the field.
Yeah, for sure. Pat, you have any experience with solo?
Thank God that Jacob have never put me in that situation, even when we was out there on the youth, because I probably would have lost my brain cells with those guys.
All three of them.
especially with just with the parents complaining, and we got two officials. So, yeah, I'm good with that one. Y'all can keep that solo officiating. I am good.
Hey, Pat, as I was talking, I pulled up our order sheet from our last jersey, and the jerseys you've ordered have all been extra small, by the way. I just wanted to let you know.
That's fine. Hey, that's fine. Hey, those stuff that look good. It can be extra small.
All right, cool. So since we got Declan on the show tonight, I think it's good for us to talk about the topic of youth flag football. So Jacob, I know you were very passionate last week and you had a lot to say. You had a little experience with OT7, and of course you know, with USA flag, you're always putting your hand in both youth and adult flag football. So I want to give you the floor. If you get on your soapbox now, speak to me about youth flag football. Let me hear it, Jacob.
Man, I think last week.
Round two.
The biggest thing, man, is the worst part of youth sports is the parents. They take away from the game. They don't let the kids play the game. They try to live vicariously through the kids while they're playing the game, and they don't let them learn. You know, I'm not gonna throw that example I did last week, but I think that's the biggest problem. As officials, I almost feel like it's another element that you have to pay attention to and watch. You know, when you're on the field with adults, you've got to watch your back with the players. You've got to watch your back with the handful of spectators you may or may not. With youth, you have to watch your back with the players. You got to watch your back with the parents. You got to watch your back with the coaches. You got to watch your back with everybody. It's like we've talked about the accessibility to officials. I think at a youth level, I know tournament wise, we do a pretty good job of trying to keep the parents away from the officials and let you guys work. But other organizations, parents are right there on top of you.
Oh, wow.
While you're – you know, pause. Good Lord. All right, so let me clarify.
He's going to say it again, Pat.
The parents are right on the sideline. They're right, you know, they're right in the way because they want to set up their tents. They want to have the 12 coolers. They need all the oranges for little Timmy to, you know – after every first down he gets, he needs an orange slice. But they, I don't know. There's several things with youth sports that, you know, that I think are bad. That if you were to adjust or fix, heck, take the parents away completely. We saw what happened in Richmond a couple months ago, Pat and Ant. Gun got, potentially pulled. We're not even going to say it did get pulled. And we're right now just starting to find out what the consequences of that are. And from what I understand, nothing's been released, nothing's been finalized, nothing's been hashed out, but there's going to be some significant changes because of that. So, we're trying to grow the future. We're trying to, trying to have a better place for kids to play and for them to, learn the game that we love as adults, but we're also ruining it by the things that we're doing.
So, Jacob, you said several things need to be changed. What? Just say them. What are the several things that need to be changed?
Oh, you need to take the parents away from the game completely. Let the kids play the game. You take the parents out of the equation, and I think you get a completely different game. You take their emotions away. You take their, I've watched – I'm trying to think of a good example. Jordan and I were working a youth league a few weeks ago, and you have a coach that is whining and complaining. You have parents that are whining and complaining, and you have the kids on the field that they hear the parents and coaches do that, and then they start.
I told you, it's a snowball effect.
Absolutely, you take away the parents and get the coaches kind of in line with what we're trying to do. And what needs to be done for these kids, it's a completely different game.
Yeah, and I think as you said last week, Dollar General employees are just they're disgruntled. And so,
I'm never gonna live that down, am I? I use that as an example. And here, somebody got water running?
Yeah,
I don't know what.
What? You know it's always me. You know it's always me. I got 11 level up the show.
Dude,
my goodness.
The attention span of a squirrel.
Yeah. So I definitely, when I was officiating a tournament in Charlotte last year, and it was the youth portion of it, there was a situation where I don't remember where the team was from. I think in that tournament, they were allowed to have at most three coaches on the sideline. And outside of that, parents could not be close, they could not be close to the sideline at all. So I ended up having to throw out one coach. Another guy came over with a wristband to try to replace that coach. And then I ended up throwing him out as well. So then the first guy tried to come back and tried to say, well, we're allowed to have three people. And I said, yeah, you are, until I start throwing you guys out. That becomes – that you don't get to just continue to replace each other, That's so, right. But that – I mean, it was – that was a situation very clearly that took – completely distracted the team. It was a close game up until the point that these coaches got involved. And ultimately, they were three dads. They weren't coaches. They didn't know what they were doing. Just let the kids play. The kids were having fun. It was like a 12-13 game. And then it became such a distraction. All the kids are just watching these coaches just whine and complain and get kicked off the field and storm off the other sideline and all of these things. Then we finally get the game going again, and that team's completely off. And they end up getting blown out the rest of the game. And who's to blame for that? It's definitely not the kids. So, Declan, any thoughts on just what you see with youth flag football and the parents interacting?
The problem with parents and coaches is it's good to have a relationship, but they try to have such a relationship to where and I've seen this with some teams is they pick that kid because this parent and that kid because they don't want to hear the complaints of the parent. And that kid could be completely bad. He could be completely not worth a lick of anything. He could be throwing it yay high in the air, could be throwing it to the left, not making it, could be throwing it to the right. But again, that coach still uses them because that parent. And the other problem is the parents don't know what they're talking about. And then the coaches half the time don't know what they're talking about, which is the other problem. as much as the parents, because they need to shush sometimes, because what all they're doing is affecting the kids, because then these kids start getting, they're heckling themselves, they're beating themselves up because their parents are yelling at them. And I see it heavily in flag football, and I see it heavily in baseball, especially when the kids on the mound might not be having a good time finding the zone. They're yelling, throw it. That's not doing anything. And then it doesn't help when the coach comes out and he says something he pulled right out of his rear because he doesn't know what he's talking about. They need to know the rules, because then they're teaching the kids fundamentals, which they believe are fundamentals, but they're not. It's what they see on TV, and they think they're the next – oh, who's an example? They think they're the next Kansas City Chiefs coach, or they think they're the next Patriots coach, or they think they're the next – what's his name? Seahawks coach. But they're not.
Preach, Declan. Preach.
Okay, but Declan, here's my issue, is that NFL football is exactly like youth flag football. So if they watch every Sunday, then they're experts on the rules of flag football.
I'll be honest, I got really scared, like he was really going to rebuttal at me with that. I'll be 100% serious. You know, the problem is it's great to have parents that come out and especially volunteer their time to coach the kids, especially when they don't have somebody. That is great. But you got to do your homework. You can't just be – because the parent walked up, I have family members that see this, and I have cousins that play. The parents walk up and be like, oh, my son can do this, this, and this. Well, if little Johnny can do that, why didn't he make the high school baseball team? If little Johnny can do that, why is he still playing recreational baseball? Obviously, he can't. That's why he's not on the high school team. That's the
problem. I'm just telling y'all, Declan for president about 10 years.
The most PG curse out ever.
I just see it more and more, especially when you have like the lower level kids, because yeah, it's intense with the older level kids, but the younger kids is really where it's, especially that 12U division, because that's where they're still their mama's baby, but they're becoming a big boy, this and this and that and the other. And that's exactly what it is. Like 14, I don't see as much intensity as I see in 12U, or even the 6-year-olds. I see more intensity. And I don't want to work the 6-year-olds. But if it's more action-packed, I'm going to end up working the 6-year-old games because 14 is giving me nothing.
Yeah, so I had a situation in San Antonio, which was the Youth World Championships this past year. It was 6U division. And, you know, it's a seven-second count for youth for the quarterback. Nobody rushes. And so I'm counting, you know, trying to count very loud. Every time I would get to 4, the quarterback, because he was a 6-year-old kid, would freak out and throw the ball away. So the coach, I don't know what the escalation ladder is, but the coach put it upon himself to email the head of USA Flag, Travis, and complain about my field and that I wasn't giving his quarterback 7 seconds. So then, you know, director comes up to me after the game and asks me, you know, it's a 7-second count. And I said, yeah, but this quarterback throws it every single time when I say 4, no matter what. Like, I've never gotten to 5. Like, you know, but... but the coach was convinced that it was clearly my fault that, you know, that this offense was not getting a first down the entire game. So, so Pat, any experience or, you know, stories you want to share about disgruntled Dollar General parents?
even when I told you when we was in Richmond, that was the first time I did youth in a long time besides up there with Jacob now. And like Jacob said, you know, as far as the parents here are on the sideline, like with their tents, legs kicked out on the sideline, like if you're running up and down the sideline, you could trip over them. But I can say the only time that was one of the first times I had a parent that I thought was actually the director come and tell me about some rules. And I was like, And, you know, I didn't know him. I'm brand new. I don't know anything about that guy. And I called Jacob. I said, you know this dude? And he was like, oh, that's a parent. And I'm like, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm like, he's like, no, that's a parent, man. I'm not that dude talking about. He always complaining about his son or this and that. I said, okay, cool. Next time, I tell him, hey, don't come on my field no more. Like, you come on my field, you're going to be going to the parking lot and watching the game. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I really don't have too much, I would say, issues with parents. I think because I wear extra small shirts and they know the same what they want to do, you know. But I mean, I've had issues with, like I told you, with the coaches at 9U down in Richmond when the lady coach was upset because she was like, you're not calling a false start on the other team. I'm like, I'm not calling on you either. I'm like, what 9-year-old? I mean, these are little girls. They're 9 years old. They're going to be – their ponytail's going to be moving. Their head's going to be moving. Everything's going to be moving still. And I was like, if I did that, you'll never get a snap. Neither one of y'all. So yeah. Before the elimination match started, elimination round started, I brought all the coaches in. And I said, hey, since we have one coach that want to complain about people fingers moving and shoulders moving, we're going to tighten it up for the playoffs. Her team got skunked 27-0, and the coach threw the ball out of bounds on purpose because he wanted to put 34 up. And that's what happened. Now the girls are butt hurt because their coach, you know, they couldn't get a snap off. They couldn't do anything because they kept illegal shifting, moving, and everything. Blame your coach.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Jacob. So, what are the other things that you think should change in youth flag football?
Man, that's just the biggest thing. I mean, you know, there's little tweaks here and there with everything, but overall, I think you know, you take the parents out of the equation, and you're gonna have a much better environment, much better playing, you know. Much better competition. I think that's just the nucleus to the problem.
Oh, go ahead, Pat.
Hey, Jake, I think we should make them wear parent shirts, and if they say anything, they should be put out. Parents talk at all during the game. They can leave the field. Hey, out of here. You're gone. Like, I think that's what we need to do. Like, put that out. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to get rid of parents on the field. You know, or parents that on the sideline. Only thing you could do is do what they did to Trump and gag him.
I've officiated at smaller youth tournaments where they're using like a high school stadium, and the easiest way to get rid of parents is in that situation where all the parents have to be in the stand, and so it's strictly the players and the two coaches with the wristbands, and nobody else is on the field. So, I mean, you'll still get a parent screaming at you, but they're in the stands, so it's meaningless. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I also think with that Declan brought up that the older age groups, I do think that the parents kind of back up a little bit better. I think they, you know, aren't saying so much and, you know, putting their two cents in when they don't know the rules and everything. I've noticed that especially when you get into like the 15U, 17U boys, usually the coaches are they're just having fun. And so I've been able to have, you know, make jokes with the coaches. And, you know, I had a coach say, you know, kind of say to the sideline in my ear a little bit like, oh, you know, these refs must be from Texas. They're giving every Texas team the calls, and I went up to him at the end of the game, and I said, hey, just so you know, I grew up in Colorado, and he said, oh, you heard me? And I said, yeah, I heard you, and I said, it's no big deal, but, and it was funny, because then the rest of the tournament, he was making jokes with me, and he had a good time, and it was a team from New Orleans, and their coaches, they just let their boys ball out. And they were, you know, I think we brought it up about women's coaches. I think it's the same thing with youth coaches.
Oh, absolutely.
It, you know, is the positive production. So Jacob, you noticed that with youth coaches as well, that it can be the same as women's.
Oh, absolutely. When you have a voice in a center, that's on the sideline and not on the field with you, you become more of a reflection of that person, of that philosophy. So you see the kids, or, you know, if the coaches are, you know, positive, they're trying to let the kids play, trying to have a good time, you see it reflected on the field. When people are uptight, they're whiny, they're complaining, they nitpick. It's an exact – the same thing translates right onto the field. So I definitely think that's the same thing.
So as far as youth being – youth flag football being involved in the future of flag football, I just noticed just with the national teams that, you know, the final 12 that were released, you know, I saw one video of the girl that had just basically turned 18 – and she made the final 12, you know, just kind of looking in, doing some more research, trying to, you know, because I didn't recognize her at all. She had played on the U15 team and won a gold medal. She had played on the U17 and played a gold medal. So, Jacob, do you think that that youth flag football is just continuing to push the game forward and especially as it comes towards the Olympics?
Oh, definitely. I think the thing to look for is, number one, is it's giving notoriety to flag football. It's making it where if you mention flag football, it's being taken a little bit more seriously. It's not just the, oh, okay, whatever. They're just running around. They're not doing anything. They're playing a stupid game. It's giving it some legitimacy. I think the more we see it played, the more that it's around, the more it becomes a household item. You know, I think the better it's going to be, and it's going to get more people involved. Youth sports, it's never going away. So why not include it? Why not get kids involved in something that's positive for us, so that way we still have a good, steady streamline of people coming to play at an adult level, and we're not just grabbing, you know, every all-state receiver that, you know, never existed.
An NFL player that never made it to the league.
Yep. Yeah. We're all
never made it.
Yeah, exactly. So so speaking of that, if youth flag football is going to push us into the future of this game and they're going to continue to be, you know, go into the adult as soon as they turn 18 and everything like that, Pat, what format do you think youth flag football should be?
Say it one more time.
What format? Should it be 5? Should it be 7? Should it, you know, what format should youth flag football be?
I would say if we're going to go for youth, I would still keep it in between either 5s or 7s. I wouldn't go no bigger than that because you don't want anybody to really get injured. I would still keep them non-contact as well. So injuries, especially if we plan on putting these teams together for the Olympics and start teaching them the Olympic style. I would actually just go 5 Olympic or whatever they're doing in the Olympics for the adults, and it just becomes, you know, repetition. So when they get there, it's like second nature. That's what I would do.
Yeah, Declan, what do you think?
I agree with Pat really on that because with youth and especially in the nature, let's say, you know, you put more people on there or more kids on there, it's going to become a big old crap show. That's all it's going to do. It's going to confuse the kids, especially with what you see in flag football. Some of the kids that join these teams either A, do it in the off season of tackle football, or B, use it as a way to introduce themselves into the sport of football. So adding more people on there, as realistic as it may just end up worse at the youth perspective because they're going to be worried on more things than they should. And they're going to be too focused on these little things in flag football when in reality, let's say they're just doing this as like an introductory sport. It's going to screw them over in the long run if they just focus on these little things instead of just honing in on the general idea of itself.
So, Jacob, maybe you can answer this. I don't know if it's because Florida is where, like, girls' high school flag football started and it started to get into colleges and everything like that. But that's 7s. But most youth flag football organizations run 5s. Do you think that there's a reason that's continuing to be girls flag football is predominantly 7s?
So I think a lot of it you have to look at what college was based off of. College was based off of NERSA, which is it's the adult intramurals. That was started actually in Maryland for in the military for I can't remember which branch, whether it was Army or the Marines.
It's always been the Army. Always been the Army.
So there you have it. but no, like NERSA, being a club sport for college, I think at the collegiate level, they wanted to give some kind of homage to that and keep it the same. But to the question you asked Declan and Pat, I think you actually need to get away from sevens. The reason you need to get away from sevens, number one, the Olympics are not going to be playing that. They're going to be playing fives. Number two, if you're trying to develop a kid or develop anybody in playing flag, why would you play with more people on the field where you can easily hide somebody and not develop those skills? So if I had, you know, if it's us four plus one more, like, we're all held a lot more accountable than if we have two more people on the field, on a full field, you know. I just think fives, it makes better players. It makes people – it either makes you grow or it gets you off the field. And then I don't think at a youth level you want people getting off the field. You want these kids to grow. You want them to develop. You want them to learn the fundamentals and everything like that. And fives gives you that. I'm kind of torn. I think either the Olympic style, you know, would be great for these kids to learn. I also think what we kind of have as a standard for youth right now is also forgiving enough that it gives these kids opportunities to play and learn and grow and find fun in the game.
Yeah, I think I feel like IFAB might be too much of a challenge for anybody younger than, you know, probably 15 or something like that. I've said before that, you know, my dream, if Jacob said, hey, I want you to start a Camel City branch, I would do five contact and I would do IFAB, and, you know, I would do the best of both worlds. I think those two have such a black and white approach to the rule set, and IFAB is very much anything you see, any contact at all, it's black and white. Call it. If you saw that contact, call it. Throw the flag. Where five's contact is, close your eyes, let them play, and it's very different, but I love both of them in their own styles. But Jacob, I agree with you as well. I think sevens needs to go away. I also feel like it's hindering the growth of female quarterbacks. I think that fives would develop a female quarterback not only with their throwing ability, but the ability to be able to work through plays and, you know, on 1 minute drills and all of that. You know, we see as officials how poorly the clock can be managed with pro adult, you know, players. So that's something that if you can start to develop very young, that, you know, the quarterbacks can start to understand that, oh, okay, if I get a first down, the clock will stop until the referee is set. Instead of burning a timeout, they can learn that when they're young. Whereas with sevens, there's just, it's a bigger field. There's a lot more leeway. It's a slower game. And just like you said, it'll hide players. And unfortunately, they might, you know, in the little school that they're going to, they might have 1,000 yards receiving. And then they go and try to play at a college and they have no chance at all. So. Right. I think fives is definitely what needs to happen in the future. Speaking of that, fives with poppers and sevens with triple threats is what was used in California high school. In college, do they use triple threats, Jacob?
They do. They use triple threats for safety precautions still. That was the message that I got. Yeah, that too, because right now the funding is coming from it's not coming out of the athletic director funds.
Wait. You're talking about Central, right?
I'm talking about all of them. I got inside detail.
So NAIA uses poppers when they played in Atlanta, did they not?
I wasn't in Atlanta.
No, none of us were, but it was on ESPN.
Yeah, they did.
So NAIA is not using triples; they're using poppers. That's where it's at. what Central's doing, I know what you're talking about. Central's at a club level. They're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, but I think from what I've heard, like, the CIAA heads are not really spearheading this thing. It's behind the scenes. It's going to be through the school. Like, the schools are going to be handling this. So the funding is going to be, from what I heard, coming from the schools. So whatever materials or whatever they get when it comes to flags and officials and all that, that's funded strictly from the school, not the CIAA or the NAIA. Oh, well, I don't know about the NAIA, but it's worse right now when the CIAA here. That's just how it goes. And that's why you see the triple threats when it comes to safety or whatever. And they can get more of the triple threats. I guess they don't know about poppers yet, but.
I mean, that's a lot of initials, and it's just kind of confusing me. So I just think that they should just go with poppers at this point instead of just coming up with more acronyms. But so I know, and Lance could have spoken, he could have spoken on this a little bit better, because I know he's pretty heavily involved in California high school girls flag development. It's only going into year two. That literally the first year that they did it in Southern California, they just grabbed all tackle officials and they said, it's just like officiating tackle. Just officiate it that way. It's the same exact way. And so there was no instruction given. Even the rule book was just really, you know, kind of thrown together. Understandable. It's the first year. You just want to get kids playing, and that's, you know, that's that. I did see today that Shrooms, you know, signed a deal with CIF, and you know, considering California is like the fourth biggest economy in the world, there's a lot of high schools in that state, and so hopefully Shrooms can kind of maybe help with switching over to poppers, and that can, you know, maybe that could start a trend with high school girls. I just think that. Ultimately, I've said it before, the future of this game is in women's. And so, like, let's continue to just develop the women's game as much as possible. Declan, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like ultimately what's going to happen when we get close to the Olympics is all these guys that have claimed to be pro flag football players for the last 15 years, they're all going to get pushed aside for Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson and all these other NFL players and anybody else. Who knows? Tom Brady might want to say, I want to get an Olympic gold medal, and he could probably push Hoosh aside. No issue, because the NFL is going to back him in that. Whereas with the women's sport, women's flag football pro players are going to have the best shot at being able to play in the Olympics, in my opinion. What are your thoughts, Stephanie?
I agree the same way, because it all boils down to the fact of, like you said, when these pro guy flag football players are going to try, and then these NFL guys are going to be like, no, I want to do this. They want it for publicity. And that's another big problem that you see. Is some of these players don't want it because they like the sport. Some of these players just want to do these sports for what they for the money or the trophies or this or that. And that's why the female flag football is going to have a 100%, 100, 200, 2,000% more shot of really, really making it to the Olympics, because these male flag football players in reality are just going to end up wasting their time in the end. Because like you said, these NFL guys are going to come down, and why wouldn't they want them to play? They're top notch. They're playing on ESPN every day. They got this Under Armour. This guy got they got the Nike money. It's all that. Why wouldn't they want them to play?
Well, I guess Jacob has the answer for you. Jacob, what is it?
Declan, did you watch the Pro Bowl this past year?
No.
No, you didn't watch the flag game?
Yeah, no.
I did. I haven't watched the last Pro Bowls that have been flag games.
Oh my god! Why not?
I don't watch the NFL. I don't watch professional sports. Because when here's the thing, professional sports. It's just got boring now. Like, even when I see it with MLB and the NFL, even in the NBA too, it's just boring, because in reality, yes, they're fighting for this Super Bowl, this World Series, or the finals. What farther are they going from there? Like, what they've already reached the show. They're already at that top level. Like, that's why I watch college sports. College sports are 100% better. I tell you that. The rules might be a little wonky, but 100%. Because those kids are working towards something. They haven't hit that top level. I don't even like watching D1 sports. Because, again, those kids, 9 times out of 10, are cocky, rich kids. And I don't mean that in a rude or ignorant way, but that's what it is. Mommy got me this. Daddy got me this. And I see it in school, and I see it with what I do now. It's kids talk down on what I do. That's fine. You go ahead, work 4 days. I work too. I'm still making more than you. Go ahead. Go work at Publix. Go ahead and go deal with Betty Sue, who did not get her groceries.
Betty Sue not getting her groceries.
Yeah. That's better than Dollar General.
That's way better than Dollar General.
Publix. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Publix.
I'm gonna circle back. So the reason I asked you about not watching the Pro Bowl, they played flag. The defense looked terrible. Those guys couldn't pull flags. They couldn't, they didn't understand the concept. I think you still have to keep quite a few of these guys that play flag on the roster. You can sprinkle in some of these NFL players, but I'll take the flag guys over the pro players. Don't let them come ruin the game.
I agree. That's like them making fun of flag because it was in the NFL, but now because it's a popular sport or it's an Olympic sport, now they want to go back to what they would call grabbing ass as far as with the flags. That's what they call it. Oh, you got there grabbing ass? No, I'm out here playing flag football. You guys made it, And so they look down on flag football. But now because there's so much publicity going on with it, now they're okay with wanting to play it and all this bull crap. I want to circle on this one when you mentioned as far as with California with their rule book. Declan, he's in Orlando. And as far as Florida been had flag football since 1998 with the women. All they had to do was reach across to Florida and reach out for the playbook. It's been established. It's 2024. So there's no reason why they had to say, oh, well, we don't have a rule book. Rule book is established for almost 26 years.
Yeah, but you guys think you can throw the ball forward twice behind the line of scrimmage down there, so.
But at the same time, it's better than the rule book that they have. You make adjustments to the rule book, right?
No, you're right.
So, I mean,
Florida's the best at everything. We get it.
It is true. It is true.
Yeah, we're just a couple northerners up here.
Something adding on to what Pat said is, he's right. Why not piggyback off the rule book that's already made? Because making this rule book last minute, it's going to cause a lot of safety concerns. And like when we were talking about the poppers and the triple threats, they're mixing this pot, but it's not going to work. It's just going to cause a big giant accident. And that's why you're taking ideas from another book, go ahead. Look at all the rule books we have in place. Look at USA flag rules compared to NFL flag rules compared to Under Armour rules. They all have something in common. They just make different modifications, and that's what California should do. Take something from Florida's rule book, add your style to it. But just trying to make something off the fly is going to hurt kids, it's going to hurt people, and it's going to make a lot of lawsuits.
Unfortunately, egos are a factor in this, and that's exactly why it'll never happen. You'll always deal with people making their own rule book, doing their own thing, trying to one-up everybody and saying they can come up with something better. That's we deal with it today. We'll deal with it tomorrow. We'll deal with it for the rest of our lives. It'll never be, in a perfect world, flag football across the board for adults has one rule book. It'll never happen.
That'd be perfect. Like, yep. Not going for three from the 18-yard line.
Yeah, that rule's older than Declan.
Yeah, it actually is.
Yeah, and guess what? California, the tough league, just added a 3-point line just recently. So, I mean, you know, and those are conversations that I had. Look, the year and a half that I spent in California, I spent a lot of time probably ruffling too many feathers, because when I was talking to the officials that were doing girls flag football in high school, and I was explaining to them, no, you need to understand, like, if you look at the IFAF rule book or you look at other high school rule books, like, this is what's in place. This is non-contact. You cannot officiate it like you officiate boys tackle football. Like, it's two very different things. And I saw it. I observed these guys letting these girls play and girls getting hurt. Whereas when these same teams would come onto my field, and of course the coaches are upset because now they're seeing all these new penalty flags that they weren't seeing before. Perfect example, impeding the rush. Officials that come from tackle football, they will not throw an impeding the rush unless they see contact.
Because they don't know better.
Because they don't know any better.
And no, because they're so used to having to document every penalty that they throw, that's why they hesitate on the phone throwing flags. I learned that recently, you know what I'm saying? But that's why they get reviewed. They have to document, why did you throw this penalty flag? And if you throw 10 flags like we do in flag, can you imagine us having to go back and review the 10 flags that I threw, 10 flags that you threw to Jacob, and he already watching the film because he's the director, and saying, hey, that wasn't this, that wasn't that. That's why they're hesitant on throwing those flags. They have to have the means of the action to the correct action to throw that penalty flag, even though we know it, you know, but we don't have to document it either.
Well, I mean, and you know, and ultimately, Jacob, if you want to document me and fire me because I mess up, you can go ahead and do that. You know,
I want to sit around and watch every flag football, watch every ranked game. No. The reason I have you guys and I trust you guys, and you guys do the job that you guys do.
Yeah. So. No, and I do think that, you know, I think we've talked about it a lot on previous episodes of the negative effect that egos can have, whether it's officials or, you know, or directors that want to have their own rule books. I mean, literally, you know, and I bring it up about how much I hated this format, and I just got to the point where I didn't care that I wasn't working on a weekend because I didn't want to do this specific Southern California sixes format. It's literally nowhere else in the country. I know that they tried other places, New York, Texas, and stuff, but it just really didn't last. Southern California has this sixes format. Tufts started it. Then there was another organization that branched off. They changed the rules because of an ego. Then there was another organization that branched off, changed the rules. So there's probably five or six different organizations that do this sixes format in Southern California. It's a big field. It's kind of contact because you can make a little contact on the line, nothing downfield. There's a quarterback clock that's running no matter what. I mean, there's all these weird rules. The other thing is they really don't care about safety at all because the sidelines are connected. They have two fields and the sidelines are connected. So,
that's my favorite thing. Pow! That's next level laziness right there.
You know, but every time I would try to bring it up to him and be like, you know what you guys should do is literally just shorten the fields and turn the hour-long games with, you know, two-minute pro clocks and, you know, all these things, shorten the time. You know, you would change it. It would become more action, high pace, all this stuff. Look at what fives is. You guys want to compete on a national level. You guys got to have fives in Southern California. Shout out to Tuff for finally bringing fives into it. I now see Air Raid recently, just the last couple weeks, they started a women's fives league. So, you know, a little bit of change is happening. But, Pat, like you brought up, Florida's been doing it since the 90s, yeah. And California is just catching on. So, there is a reason why Florida, the East Coast, Texas has been so dominant for so long in flag football. When we look at who wins the world championship and where do these players come from that are on the national team, well, it's because of all these other states that are so behind the times. And just like I brought up with Colorado, the arena league that I played in that was fives, and they still use triple threats. And just this past year, they changed to poppers, but they had to have three poppers. And if you couldn't afford poppers, you could still wear your triple threat. So now there were two different types of flags on the field at all times. Like, you know, because there's still an ego about it. We want the rules to be our way and the specific way. And so, yeah, I mean, Jacob, you said it. There's not going to be this uniform rule book like we all want. It would be amazing. I hope some of those organizations just go away eventually because they're just annoying at this point. But, you know, that being said, that's where we're at. So, the next thing that I just want to bring up about youth flag football, and I think we kind of touched on it a little bit about how it's important that there's an understanding of non-contact. So, Jacob, when you're talking to officials about the difference between adult and youth, how do you protect the safety of the youth flag football players?
Just put an emphasis on pay attention to what they're doing, what's going on in the game. Kids are a lot goofier than adults. They're still, while they're trying to learn the game, they're also trying to learn themselves. Like they're still working on their coordination, what their bodies are capable of doing on the field, what they're not capable of doing. So you have to figure out, you have to read between the lines on a lot of things, but it's also trying to make sure, hey, that these kids are being safe, doing the right things, being okay in the environment that they're in, and making sure that everybody understands at a youth level, 95% of the time, nothing is malicious. You know, these kids, it's pure incidental. Kids are just trying to play the game. They're not trying to take each other's heads off. And you have some that are knuckleheads, and that's everything. But you're trying to get that understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, Declan, I'm sure you've had this example. I just think about the two, you know, goofy kids that have two left feet and they're both going for a ball and they run into each other and the entire sideline of parents, oh, you're not going to call something, you know, this, that, you know. Yeah. So how do you make sure that you kind of zero in on that and don't get, you know, don't listen to the background noise and know that that was incidental contact?
9 times out of 10, you can tell if it's an incidental or not, because as an official, you are not just reading the game; you're also reading the emotions of the players and coaches, because that's how you deal with proper game management and dealing when you're dealing with coaches and it's first and goal and the game is tied and we're in overtime, for God's sakes. That's how you know how to deal with this coach in a different manner than you would in a complete blowout. And this coach is the winning coach is off his rocker for no reason. Because when, let's say, like you said, they're going up for it. I can clearly tell that's not incidental. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to call the signal. I'm going to call for 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be an incomplete pass. Bam. And I'll nice and make my way back to my position. And if they're yelling, I'll look at them and go, "You come on. What's the point in arguing that? They're both going for the ball." And you see it a whole lot, especially with the older kids, because they get cocky, their girlfriends are there, their mom's there, this and this and that. And then they start cussing at each other, and then they start running into each other, then they start shoulder checking, and then that's when that becomes a problem. And you can see it with adults. Like I saw it over in a World Championship. Two teams started going at it, and then a team that's on the sideline, not even on my field, starts fighting the team that's on my field. So I'm like, okay, boom, boom, boom. They're good. I'm just beep, 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 beep. I've given up. Let them hit me. Go ahead. Please. I'm 16. And I'm a sports official. Go ahead. So I step in between people now, especially like, and I've just got over the fear of like trying not to step in between them, because I don't got time for this. I want to stay on schedule. Especially when some of my fields were behind in the World Championships. Especially when some of my fields were the ones behind. I was like, okay, we're done. I said, you're done and you're done. I was fighting your coach. You're done and you're done. I don't even know why you're fighting. And if I could tell it's malicious, I'll signal it and I'll go up to the coach and say, hey, I'm going to call him on it. But if he does something like that again, you got to control it. And that's again when we as officials have to step in and say, okay, coach, you got to deal with this. Because what you're seeing more and more is referees and umpires and sports officials are getting scared of calling things because they're scared of the repercussions. You are in one of the most confrontational jobs. Sometimes you got to do what people don't like. I know I do what people don't like. I don't care no more. I'll tell you, I'll be behind the plate, and if I see that ball down there low and away, or if I see even a nice little swipe, let's say that ball's low and away, I'm punching the kid out. Or even if that kid did a little swipe, yeah, I'm flagging him on it like he just made the biggest penalty in the Super Bowl. But that's what you have to do, because if you don't use this game management and you don't treat everything with the great – and if you try to go everything at the top of the ladder and try to be like, oh, you did this on purpose, you're going to screw yourself over, you're going to screw the teams over, and then your bosses are going to have you. Why do you think Jacob Steph had a problem with me? I just stand there. And then when I got to deal with something, then I'll deal with
it. Declan, what are you doing next weekend, man?
Oh, I'll be getting yelled at by people in states. And in flag football, when we were talking about earlier about when you have the mindset of officiating flag football and tackle football, as an official, those are big two different mindsets. That's in similar as when I do baseball and softball. Way two different mindsets, because those are way two different rules, way two different strike zones, and way two different everything, way two different emotions. And again, you cannot be scared or have the thought of, oh, this coach going to come out screaming if he throws this. I was doing the Olympic. I was doing 5-on-5 Olympics. I have the rule right here in front of me, and straight up impeding the rusher, straight up. And it was a team from Canada and a team from Mexico. I flagged the girl on it. I've never been cussed out in a different language before. It was fun. I didn't know what they were saying. So I sat here. Okay, I got you. You just got to make sure that you read it right and you're not overreading it. Because when you start to overread it and overthink it, then you're going to overthink the rule and then you're going to screw yourself over. I've done it multiple times, and I know I have. That's why I'm allowed to say it, because I know I screw up at least once every tournament and every sport that I do. You're never going to be perfect.
Yeah, it's you know, my daughter officiated in the Santa Clarita tournament, and you know, after the fact, you know, I don't know how many games she did. It was raining. It was muddy. That, you know, it was a lot. After the fact, I talked to her. I said, "Well, what did you think? Did you like it?" And she said, "Dad, I value people's opinion of me. I like to be liked by people. So this is not for me." And like, you know, very clearly that it makes perfect sense to me. I, you know, I'm almost 40 years old. I could care less about what people think about me. I don't care if somebody's sponsored by Nike. I don't care if they're the best player in Texas or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. You having a trophy room of all your flag football world championships and all the rings that you have and everything like that, it doesn't matter to me. I have a rule book that I try to study as often as possible, and I read through and I practice, and I want to be really good at this. So whatever you're bringing to the table, I know you probably haven't read that rule book. So it's really easy for me to just say, make a call and then move on. And like we talked about last week, you know, or a couple weeks ago, is that they can whine as much as they want to, but that clock's still running. So you know, and Declan, I know Chun, you know, posed this question to all of us last month about getting involved in fights and all of that. So I hope that you aren't getting in the middle of fights at all, especially with adults, and you know, because it can get messy really quick. I saw Dean get, you know, hit by a stray punch in Miami. So, you know, I know he needs to kind of, I think in his Cayman Island world, that's what he's used to. I'm the same exact way. I throw my flag. I mean, I had Six's contact wreck at Worlds. Luckily, Jacob, again, he never answered my call, but he just happened to be right by my field. And there was an interception, and DB was you know, setting up, you know, blocking the wide receiver, and they got clinched up. And then all of a sudden, I see the receiver cock back with a punch and miss, and they're rolling on the sideline. And I just say, Jacob, you can deal with that. And and I looked at both numbers, and I said, both you guys are out. And I remember the player that threw the punch going up to Jacob after the fact and being like, I don't, nothing really happened at all. And his eye was already swelling up. And like,
he didn't get punched, and like half his face was a bruise. Like, bro, okay, maybe you don't remember it.
You kind of give me PTSD when you talked about the interception. First game, well, last game I ever worked in Orlando, first USA flag tournament I've ever done, first ever. It's the last game. I'm ready to go home. This on Sunday. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to school the next day, for God's sakes. They throw it down towards the defensive end zone, and both kids, and they get dual possession. And I ruled in the offensive favor, and they ran for it in for the touchdown, and I called it. Coach comes out, ticked. I'm with Tim. Now I'll never forget this because we were making some remarks earlier in the game. I was with Tim, and I was back judge. He was on the line. And they come out and they are telling. They're like, we want a who did they say? They wanted not a supervisor. Sound like a cop now. They wanted a director out there. So I said, okay, you know what? And Jacob came out here, and another guy came out. And they're like, so tell me what happened. And I told him, and that's how I knew I was going to be hated. Whenever time I walked on the field from that point on, because that was really, really hated. For sure, it's a championship game, too. Looked at Jacob, I said, listen, I don't care the outcome of this game, but they're getting that. They're getting it. It was fair. It didn't matter. And sure enough, Jacob goes, okay, then go ahead and call it. And he stepped off the field. I went, touchdown, and they lost their minds. I thought that they were going to chase me because I made sure, because I already got complaints the entire day. I was making sure after I was done, I went and talked to Jacob what I needed to, told him I was going to go to Tampa, and I left. I took my uniform shirt off, because when I go to games, I keep an extra pullover in my bag, took my referee shirt off, took my hat off, grabbed another hat, grabbed another shirt, I was gone. Nope. I was not being spotted, was not being fought. I've been chased back to my car before, not happening again. I'm done.
Yeah, well, you know, and honestly, I think that is something that as officials we should you know, have that safety with us. I've learned that from just kind of watching basketball officials that they never come onto the court or leave the court with their stripes visible. I don't know. I think with the bigger these events get and everything like that, that's not a bad idea to be able to just kind of be able to walk out of there just like a normal person. I know ultimately our pants. We still have that stripe, but I think most people just look for the stripes and that, you know, on our shirt. And that's what I'm looking for. Pat, do you have a extra shirt when you leave games at all? Or
no? I mostly do. I put on a triple X small, and I make sure it has no sleeves. So if they get froggy, you know, hey, you see these 4-5s, and I put my do-rag on so they know I'm about business. But no, I mean, I do exactly what he I come to the fields now. Of course, the stripe's going to give you away on your pants. But I don't put my shirt on until I get to the field. And when I leave, I do switch back into, like, literally a different shirt. Especially the one that the all-black one that we have. I'll probably put that one on because it has no stripes. I mean, it may have the 2 on the back, but they slow. They're not going to pick that up. They do. I mean, they were looking for me anyways, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So just to kind of end the conversation a little bit and wrap things up tonight, Jacob, any final thoughts?
Man, just, you know, Declan, I really appreciate you coming on, man. Declan has quickly become one of my favorite officials to have come work for us. So having you on, blast. We really appreciate you. We appreciate your personality, everything you brought with us tonight. You know, we're just looking forward to Nashville. We got you coming out and traveling up with us. We're gonna show you a good time, and we'll make a good weekend of it.
Next up, I'm going up there no matter what. Ant took my shirt.
Hey, Jacob, you know I normally don't ask for too many things, no requests, but I request for my 43rd birthday for me to have Declan with my fields the whole weekend, please, if that's possible.
Declan may want you on his field.
Really? Oh. Hey. Really? But anyways, I would like to work with him, for real. I mean, that's the only one in our group that I've never got a chance to work with. But at least one day out of that whole weekend. Especially, that's the only thing I ask for. That's the only thing I ask for. It could be on a Friday. I don't care. That's my birthday. Yeah, but other than that, man, I'm just prepping for Saturday with this boom shebang bang. That's what I'm going to call it. And then erase some of these rules that I got to deal with, and get ready for Campbell City now, and get ready for the big boys, and cause havoc on Facebook.
There we go, Declan. Final thoughts for the night.
I mean, appreciate y'all bringing me on here. I love the conversation we had. Glad that I was able to make y'all laugh with my comedic referee stories. but in reality, There's really not much else for me to say. It was great talking with other referees, you know, getting insight on other things that I really can't talk to much other people about, because one of very few 16-year-olds to have the job that I do. Probably one of the very few. But anyway, it was fun. It was fun talking to y'all. Definitely going to see y'all in Nashville. Yeah, that's about it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Nashville. It's going to be a lot of fun. Big tournament. I know the competition's going to be out there, but ultimately, our group of guys is going to be out there as well, and so I'm excited for that. I think just on the horizon, just the tournaments coming up with, New York, San Diego, Orlando, there's going to be a lot of fun tournaments coming up. So I'm excited for what's ahead, ending the summer and into the fall, that, everything leads to Tampa, and Tampa's the big one, and what is it? It's going to be 25 days this year, I think I heard.
24 and a half, yeah.
There we go. Okay, cool. So, well, cool. Well, as I always tell everybody, because this is what's so important, Declan, you better subscribe. I need to know that you subscribe, you follow, you like. Okay. And, I've been adding a lot more clips to our YouTube, pulling, sound bites and everything like that. So you got to be careful what you say on this show, especially as it pertains to Dollar General, because I will find that clip and I will highlight it, and it'll go all over the internet for everyone to hear.
I'll tell you this. I wear the number 22 on my back and on my sleeve. Go right ahead, find me.
Yep. Hey, again, DK. Go ahead and try to bring that crap to his field, okay, DK? I'm calling you out.
Don't
get started, man. All right, y'all. Well, we are on everywhere. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, TikTok. We are everywhere. So just listen, like, share, follow, subscribe, and y'all have a good night.